I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And I think my favorite reminder to you is in regards to the quick passage of time. So you see, we are already in the month of April, right? Almost finishing the month of April. And we have gone through Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday. You remember we were just talking about those two important days at the very beginning of the year. We say that very soon the 2 days will come and then they will be over. And now they are already over. So you see how fast time flies. Now the big question for all of us is, what are we doing for the Lord Jesus Christ? If he should come today, will we be able to give a good account of the work that we have been doing for him? And then all those of us here who are still outside your kingdom, you are still undecided whether to follow the Lord Jesus or not. My dear friends, don't wait. The word of God says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Not another day, but today. So why don't you come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today? Why don't you place your life into the hands of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for him to manage? Now this morning, my subject is two kinds of people, light and darkness. Light and darkness. I speak from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 14, but not the whole passage, just a few verses. Now if you look at the color of the skin of the human race, now you would think that there are many races in the world. Yes, of course, if you look at them by the color of the skin, by the language that they speak, then we'll say that there are many races in the world. In fact, there are those who believe that there are many races in the world to the very extreme. And they think that in the world there are people who belong to what is known as the superior race and people who belong to the inferior race. And then those who belong to the superior race, they may take this to a further extreme. They will say that those who belong to the inferior race are not fit to live, and they should be gotten rid of. And so we have this term known as ethnic cleansing. And we see ethnic cleansing taking place, or had taken ethnic cleansing taking place in places like Africa and in Europe. You remember Hitler and his Nazi followers were strong believers of ethnic cleansing. They say that people who are inferior should not be allowed to live. They should be exterminated. They believe in the evolution theory, which of course teaches the survival of the fittest. And they thought that there was one super race, which of course included the Germans. And so they said that the other races are not fit to live, or some other races are not fit to live. And so during the Second World War, Hitler and his followers exterminated something like 6 million Jews and 4 million other people that belong to other races. They say that we must preserve the super race. The super race must not be contaminated, or at least that was the theology or the belief that they were trying to sell. Yes, and so they exterminated something like 10 million people, 6 million of whom were Jews. But friends, what's the truth? The truth is there is only one human race. The colors of the skin are actually dependent on the colors of the pigmentation that is in the skin. Now, people in the world cannot definitely be divided along racial lines. They cannot be divided along racial lines. But to say that people in the world are not divided is also not exactly true. Because the truth is, or the sad truth I should say, is that people are divided into two kinds in this world. Really. Those in the kingdom of God and those who are outside of the kingdom of God. Believers and unbelievers. People who are born again and people who are not born again. There are people who are godly and people who are wicked. People who are light and people who are darkness. Now, it is not I who say it, and it is not this church that says it. Now, if it is I or the church that says it, then we can forget about this saying that there are two kinds of people in the world. You can legitimately say, you are talking rubbish, I don't have to listen to you. How can you be so discriminatory? How can you be so judgmental? Yes, I don't have to listen to such rubbish. But the truth, my dear friends, it is not I who say it, or it is not the church that says it, but it is God who says it. There are two kinds of people in this world. I'd like us to first of all turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. And you'll see very clearly that there are two kinds of people in this world. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. God's word says, "And you has he quickened." Paul was writing to the Christians at Ephesus. He said this to them. "And you has he quickened. You has he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Once upon a time, you were dead in trespasses and sin. "Two, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Then you move on to verse 8. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, once upon a time, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we were dead in trespasses and sin. We belong to this category of dead people, dead in trespasses and sin. But God, by his grace, has made us alive. And so today, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So you see, there are two kinds of people. People who are spiritually dead, people who are spiritually alive. Once upon a time, when you were an unbeliever, you were spiritually dead. But now, today, you are alive. Yes, you're spiritually alive. So you see, there are two categories of people. People who are dead spiritually and people who are alive spiritually. Now look at another verse, Ephesians 5:8. Now we come to the passage that we really want to look at, Ephesians 5:8. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So there is the kind of people that is called darkness. "Ye were sometimes darkness." And another kind that is called light. Yes, so it is God himself who distinguishes between the two kinds of people. Now the question is, what kind of people do you belong to? The kind that is called light or the kind that is called darkness? Which do you belong to? Now let's look at the kind that is called darkness, which is really the camp of the wicked. Now I'd like us to consider the characteristics of those who are referred to as darkness. Look at verse 11. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Now look at the kind of works people in darkness produce. Yes, it is called the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, people who are referred to as darkness have this characteristic. They produce unfruitful works of darkness. Now, the works are said to be unfruitful in the sense that the works are totally incapable of producing anything that is good, anything that is worthy. It is really useless, it is worthless, and very often harmful. They are works of darkness. They are the works that come forth from hearts that are wicked. Now think of the works of darkness. What are some works of darkness that the wicked heart produces? Now in this chapter, we have a list of works of darkness. So look at verse 3 and to verse 5. You look at the works of darkness. "But fornication," now it's a kind of work of darkness. Fornication, which generally means sexual immorality. "And all uncleanness," which means any kind of impurity. "Or covetousness," which means greed. "Let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints." If you are in the light, if you are true believers, all this wickedness, these works of darkness must not be named among you. And verse 4, "Neither filthiness," which means filthy language, "nor foolish talking," talking that comes from empty heads. You know, that's what foolish talking is, talking that comes from empty head. "Nor jesting," coarse jokes, obscenities, which are not convenient, which are below you, if you are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather giving of thanks. If you belong to this group called Light, you must always be giving thanks unto the one true living God. Verse 5, for this you know, that no whoremonger, a person who practices sexual immorality, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So you see this whole list of works of darkness. But this list is by no means the longest. There are other passages which give us longer lists of works of darkness. Now we have just to look at the mass media, and you will see the kinds of unfruitful works of darkness being blatantly displayed. Now many producers of the mass media are always snooping for juicy stories, isn't it true? Yes, so they send out paparazzis and so forth to snoop for juicy stories. The more juicy the stories are, the better. And then when they are able to get hold of one juicy story, you can be sure that they will sensationalize it. Now the question is, why do these producers of this mass media snoop and sensationalize stories? You see, the reason is very simple, friends. Because they walk in darkness, in the darkness of sin, and are under the power of sin. That's why they snoop and they sensationalize. Then they know that their unfruitful works of darkness will sell. You know why their unfruitful works of darkness will sell? They will sell because people in this world love what? Darkness or light? They love darkness. That's why they love to see things that are actually products of works of darkness. Then you look at the violence and the sexual immorality created in movies and television. Are they not very, very creatively produced? I'm talking about the immoralities and the violence on TV. Are they not creatively produced? I tell you, they put in a lot of creativity to show this violence and the sexual immorality on television or in the movies. There was one sickening movie that I heard about. I didn't actually see this movie, but I heard about this movie about this woman whose husband was killed on their wedding day. Now, and so she decided to take revenge, this woman, so the story went. Yes, and she was one who was an expert in wielding the sword. You know, she had superlative skill in wielding the sword. And she wanted to seek out this man who killed her husband. But before she could reach this man, there were many people who tried to stop her along the way. And what did she do? She killed every one of them. Of course, she was very good at wielding the sword, so she killed every one of them along the way before she reached this man who killed her husband. Now, friends, do you not think that such violence will have an evil influence on the minds of people? What do you think, friends? Will it not have an evil influence on the minds of people, particularly the minds of young people? Surely, friends, it will have a very, very serious, negative, evil influence on the minds of people. Now, years ago, it was already very evident. It's not just today. Years ago, it was already very evident that movies on crimes had a criminal impact on the minds of people, particularly young people. Now, this was observed by this man called Edgar Hoover. Edgar Hoover was the first director of the FBI in the U.S. And he observed this in the 50s and 60s. Yes, and during those days, you know, the movies were violent, but not as violent as the movies that we see today. Actually, if you look at the violence of the old movies, you say, well, that kind of violence is really child play. Isn't it true? Yes. But this was already observed in those days by this man, Edgar Hoover. He said, 4 teenagers, after viewing an atrocious crime movie, emulated the example of the criminals in the show. Their car ran out of petrol and they needed money. One of the boys, after viewing the movie, very conveniently snatched a purse from a lady, because that was done in the movie, and so he did that. Now, in another instance, 2 boys were caught throwing lighted matches into the petrol tank of a car. And Where did they get this idea from? They said they got the idea from the movies. Then another four boys from good reputable homes were caught for serial burglaries. They also said that they got this idea from the movies. Right. Today, the movies are definitely more violent than the movies before. In the shows today, people are zapped like flies. Isn't it true? Like no, they are killed like nobody's business. They are zapped like flies. Now, is it any wonder that school children will bring guns and automatic weapons to school to kill their teachers and to kill their schoolmates? No wonder at all. Yes, and because they get their ideas from where? From the movies and from television, and today from what? Computer games. I say today the computer games. I've seen some advertisement of these computer games. The kind of killings is really very, very terrible, very morbid kind of killings. Now, dearly beloved, guard your minds, your hearts, against the unfruitful works of darkness of the wicked coming through the mass media, the television, the net, and today, of course, through computer games also. Now, the question for parents is this. As parents, you have the responsibility to make sure that your children are not absorbing the product of the unfruitful works of darkness. It is your responsibility. Now, how close are you to your children to know what they are doing? Do you know what they are doing, my dear friends? They lock themselves behind the doors. Do you know what they are doing? Do you keep an awareness of the programs that they watch? Do you keep an awareness of the kind of computer games that they play? Do you keep an awareness of the kind of websites that they surf? Then how are you doing? And how are you doing, or what are you doing to counteract the possible influence of the unfruitful works of darkness in your home? What are you doing? Do you have family worship in the home? Are you assuming that the spiritual leadership to ensure that you have family worship in the home? Are you reading the Word of God with your children? Are you praying with your children? And most of all, do you set them a good example? My dear friends, beware of the fruits of the unfruitful works of darkness. Verse 12. But it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Many wicked will often do their things in secret until, of course, they are found out. Of course they will do their thing. Many people will do their things in secret. Now that is another characteristic of people who belong to this group known as darkness. Now, of course, when the wickedness is found out and if the news is great enough and the producers of the mass media get wind of it, you can be very, very sure that they will sensationalize it. And surely we have seen on television houses in remote suburbs that are converted into greenhouses for growing marijuana. And also we have seen on television houses that have been converted into laboratories to produce ice, to produce methamphetamines. Yes. And some time ago, I actually saw this on TV about this young man who came from China. He worked in a factory. He was a factory hand by day. But secretly, he was a master at producing fake credit cards, fake driver's licenses, and a fake passports. Yes. And he was so good. And, you know, the things that he produced were even properly hologrammed and properly watermarked. You know, that was how skillful he was. Indeed. Yes, indeed, his secret skills and ability for the performance of the works of darkness in secret were actually very, very great, very excellent. Now then, this relative of mine, I could have told you about him before, this relative of mine was noted for being a good husband, for being a good family man. And one day he died suddenly, and then my aunt was, of course, grief-stricken when he passed away. Yes, but at the funeral, she suddenly stopped weeping. she stopped shedding another single tear for him. You know why? Because another woman showed up at his funeral with some children. This dead man had been having a secret affair with this woman for years and had produced another family. Yes, in all appearance, he was like a good family man. But in secret, he was having an affair with this woman. His works of darkness was, of course, found out at his funeral. So people who belong to darkness are very, very apt at producing works of darkness in secret. Now the question for all of us is this: what secret sins might we have? What secret sins might we have? Have we been secretly and sexually immoral, greedy, unfaithful, dishonest, full of hate, full of pride? Are we, my dear friends, we who profess to be in the camp of the godly, we who profess to be light, let us very, very quickly confess them if we have these secret sins. Now, all of us appear to be decent churchgoers. Yes, we see one another, we all appear to be very decent, we appear to be good. But the truth is, we cannot hide anything from the eyes of the one true living God. He's all-knowing. He knows every of our thoughts. The Word of God says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And then another place, the psalmist says, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. We cannot hide anything from him. So let us repent, my dear friends, if we are guilty of any secret sin. Be sure our sins will find us out. Yes, God will surely find our sins out. Now the question is there no joy in our Christian life? Is there no peace in our life? The reason could be that we are hiding some secret sins. That's why we have no joy, we have no peace. Let our secret sins be cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the psalmist, let's pray this prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any secret sin in me. Friends, that's the prayer we must make. Then Ephesians 5:12 says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Surely it is very shameful to talk about many secret things done by the wicked, things done by pedophiles, sexual perverts, unfaithful wives, unfaithful husbands. But it is even more shameful when such things are committed by the clergy. Yes, by priests, by pastors, by ministers, people who appear to be very, very spiritual, people whom other people trust, people who are seen as being morally upright. Now, surely the scandals we have heard in recent times concerning the pedophilic crimes committed by priests and committed by ministers and are covered up by the church have brought great shame to the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, are we guilty of the sins that are very, very shameful even to talk about? Now, we need not be guilty of the very acts of those sins. The Lord says it very, very clearly. He says that so long as we have the intent, all the desire to commit those sins, we are already guilty of those sins. We don't have to really actualize those sins. So long as we have the intent and the desire to commit those sins, we are guilty of those sins. How we need the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to cleanse us of all these sins. Verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The wicked are spiritually dead, spiritually asleep. In fact, they are spiritually dead. Yes, they are dead in the sins and the trespasses. They need to be awakened out of their spiritual slumber. They need to be awakened out of their spiritual death. Now, we need not marvel that the wicked are only capable of producing unfruitful works of darkness. We need not marvel that they would commit sins in secret. We need not marvel that they are guilty of sins that are very, very shameful even just to talk about them. The reason is that they are spiritually dead. We don't have to marvel that they are so wicked and so evil because they are spiritually dead. Christ is not dwelling in them. The Lord says that he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. They can do nothing good without the Lord Jesus Christ in them. My dear friends, I trust that you are spiritually alive. Yes, you are spiritually alive. But friends, we might be spiritually alive, but not so fully alive. We still need to be awakened. Yes, why? Because we are not bearing the fruits that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to bear. We are hardly alive. Is that what we are? Barely alive, hardly alive. If we are truly vibrant and spiritually alive, we must show forth the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we can impress people with our zeal, we can impress people with our eloquence, we can impress people with our spiritual knowledge, we can impress people with the depth of our theological knowledge. But friends, we might still need to be awakened spiritually. And we need to be awakened spiritually if we are not producing the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, the thing that shows that we are spiritually alive is the fruit that we produce. Even the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. My dear friends, are we producing the fruit of the Spirit? If we are really alive and we do not belong to this category of people known as darkness, my dear friends, we ought to be producing the fruit of the Spirit. Now, let us look at the other kind of people called light. We talk about the people who belong to the category known as darkness. Now let's talk about the people that belong to this category of people known as light. Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now let us look at the first characteristic of children of light, people who belong to this category known as light. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Children of light will have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That's the first characteristic. They will not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now Paul is not saying that we cannot have non-Christian friends. He's not saying that we cannot interact with people in the world. By no means. If we cannot interact with people in the world, we cannot have non-Christian friends, then we literally have to leave this world, right? Because the majority of the people in this world are actually living in darkness. Now, what he means is that we should not identify ourselves with the aims, the thoughts, the lifestyle, the sense of values, yes, and the aspirations of people in the world. Our lives must be governed by what? Not by the thinking, not by the mentality of the world. Our life must be governed by the Word of God, friends. Is our life governed by the Word of God? If we are children of light, our lives must be governed by the Word of God. And we must live for the glory of God, if we are children of light. Now, yes, true, we may have Christian friends, but how else shall we reach them? For how else shall we reach them how else shall we reach non-Christians if we don't have non-Christian friends? We can have Christian friends, non-Christian friends, of course. But we must watch how closely we are relating with them. We are not to relate with them so closely to the extent that we are influenced by their evil ways. The Word of God is very, very clear about this relationship. 2 Corinthians 6:14-15, I read for you these two very familiar verses. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Now the Word of God teaches us very, very clearly that we are to separate ourselves from the unfruitful works of darkness. The Word of God forbids us to enter into any business relationship with unbelievers. And the word of God forbids us very, very clearly to have a marriage union with unbelievers. Now, when we enter into such a relationship, you can try your very, very best. Friends, I can tell you that in many situations, you will have no choice but to identify yourself with the aims, the aspirations, the lifestyle, the sense of values of your unbelieving partners. Don't forget, friends, we are light. How can light have fellowship with darkness? You either have light or you have darkness. You cannot have light and darkness together. Yes, the two are just not compatible. Now, the next characteristic of children of light is that they will reprove those in darkness. That's the next characteristic. They will uncover or rebuke those in darkness. Now, what was the mission of John the Baptist? Yes, of course, he was a great light. Friends, what was the mission of John the Baptist? It was to reprove the hypocritical actions of the wicked of his day, particularly the wickedness of the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders of his day. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 to 8, I read for you these two verses. This is what was said of him. But when he, meaning John the Baptist, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. He called them what? A generation of vipers. He called them poisonous snakes. That was how much he reproved them, and that was how he rebuked them. Friends, how bold have we been giving the gospel out? Now, do we realize that every time we give the gospel out to unbelievers, we are actually rebuking them? We are actually reproving them of their wicked ways by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you realize that? That's what we are doing. Now, are we fearful of reproving others for fear that we might be rebuffed? Are we? And when was the last time we gave the gospel out? Yes. And how many people are we likely to share the gospel with in the month of April? The month of April in which we are supposed to do our 30 in 30. We are supposed to hand out one tract per day. How many people are likely to hear the gospel from us by the end of April? And how many people are likely to hear the gospel from us by the end of the year? As children of light, my dear friends, we must be prepared to reprove those who are living in darkness. But before we attempt to reprove the wicked actions of others, let us be sure that we reprove our own wicked actions. Now, there was this elder in a certain church who always complained about people's being rude to him. He said people were very rude to him. He said that people always didn't want to greet him first. He had to greet them first, but he never greeted them. Yes. Then, but this leader must really reprove himself first of all, because as I said, he hardly ever greeted anybody first. He always said this: "I'm an elder in the church. Yes, people must give me the respect due to me, and therefore they must greet me first before I greet them." It's no wonder that people didn't want to greet him. Yes. Now, friends, do we greet other people first, or do we wait for them to greet us first before we greet them? Now, we cannot expect to reprove others, my dear friends, if we are guilty of the very sin we want to reprove others of. Now, look at the next characteristic of the people who are light, or children of light. The next characteristic is that they are light. They are light. Yes, we read that earlier on. You are children of light. You are light. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5, 14 says, "You are the light of the world." You see, we are light. We are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Are we the light? reflecting the glorious light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to direct them to the true light, even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is our testimony, shining brighter by the day. Put it another way, every day are we updating our testimony? Every day are we updating our testimony? Is our testimony better than the day before, better than the weeks before, better than the months before, better than the years before? Now, you know, in this high-tech age, we know how important it is that we update our devices and the programs that enable our devices to work. If we don't, our devices can go out of date, and they might fail, or they might not work well for us. Yes? Now, there was this man who received a special blessing from the Lord 25 years earlier. So wonderful that blessing was that he wrote it down. And over the 25 years, every time he had a new visitor come to his home, he will show that testimony, and he will read that testimony to the visitor. So one night, this visitor came to his home, a new friend. And so, as usual, he told him, "Let me share with you this special blessing that I received from the Lord 25 years ago." And as usual, his wife went upstairs to look for the testimony. After a while, she came downstairs. She had it up to here. Really, with the kind of this same testimony that this man was sharing time after time. And she said this, "The blessing is gone. It has been eaten up by rats." My dear friends, if you have received a blessing from the Lord 25 years ago, and ever since then you have nothing new to share, you have not received any new blessing, something is seriously wrong with your testimony. If from 25 years ago up to today you have no new testimony to share, my dear friends, something is very, very seriously wrong with your testimony. If your testimony is not updated, you really are not a good testimony. You are not walking close to the Lord as a light for Him. My dear friends, like the great Apostle Paul, we must keep updating our testimony till the day we are ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the great Apostle Paul was such a man, always updating his testimony till the last days of his life when he said this, "Yes, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." As children of light, my dear friends, we must necessarily be the light shining for him. And our light must be brighter by the day. Our testimony must be better by the day. Then if we are children of light, we must be people who wake up other people. Look at verse 14. "Wherefore," he saith, "awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." We are people who are alive. We are people who are supposed to be awake. Those who are asleep, spiritually dead, are not able to wake up. We are the people who have been given the responsibility to wake them up. The Lord says to us, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." We are the light. We are awake. We are the people who have the responsibility to wake those who are dead up. Are we doing what we are supposed to do? So, my dear friends, I urge all of us here to be active, actively engaged in personal evangelism. Let us engage in this very, very wonderful and holy activity of sharing the gospel with others. They are dead. They need to be awakened. And if we are truly light, we must really go out and wake other people up, people who are spiritually dead. So we are darkness if our works are unfruitful works of darkness. But if we are not darkness, but are children of light, we will be very wary of the unfruitful works of darkness. That's a characteristic of people who are light. We will be wary of the unfruitful works of darkness. We will not engage with them, we will not enjoy them, neither will we produce them. And then we will also want to protect our children, protect our loved ones against the unfruitful works of darkness. Many people who walk in darkness would do their works of darkness in secret. We who profess to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, let's examine ourselves. Are we guilty of producing unfruitful works of darkness in secret? My dear friends, we must examine ourselves. Remember, we cannot hide anything from the one true living God. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And then the word of God says, shall not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. We cannot hide anything from him. Our sins will surely find us out. And therefore, it is very, very needful that every day we ask the Lord to search us, to cleanse us of every secret sin. Then, as children of light, let us have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Let us be separated from them. And let us pray for courage to reprove the works of darkness. But let's be sure, first of all, before we reprove other people of the works of darkness, that we reprove our own works of darkness. Let us shine for him. Let us be sure that our testimony is updated all the time, which means every day we must be shining brighter than the day before for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us realize, as the children of light, that it is our duty to wake those up who are spiritually dead, who are spiritually asleep. Are we doing what we are supposed to do? Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light, and you have enabled us to be your light. Thank you, O Lord God, that you have classified us as light. But we know that as light, we have our holy duties to perform. Lord, first of all, Lord, we know that you want us to be the testimonies, to shine for you, to be shining brighter for you every day, to win others unto you. And then, Lord, we also know that as light, it is our duty to go out to win others to direct them to the one true living light, even our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, this morning we want to pray for those who are still in darkness. We pray that your Holy Spirit may speak to them, cause them to see the light, so that they will come to understand what the truth is and be set free from their sins. Cleanse us of all sins, draw us closer unto yourself, increase our faith in you, we pray thee. In Jesus' name, amen.